It's our pleasure today to have with us Dr. Ricky Dunsford. He is Vice President of Rock of Ages Ministries in Cleveland, Tennessee. The Lord called him over 30 years ago from a youth work ministry as a youth pastor to go to prisoners with the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. The Lord has expanded his ministry now around the globe. He travels to Europe extensively, to the Far East. Many countries now have prison ministries as a direct result of God's answered prayers and Ricky Dunsford's insistence that the gospel go into these countries. And so we've invited Brother Ricky. He graciously agreed to come today. He spoke at a graduation yesterday morning in Georgia and got in last night, and we appreciate so much his being with us today. Thank you, Brother Ricky.
Thank you. Yeah. Well, as the guys came up, I was reminded, it's been a lot of years since I graduated where you're sitting, and it brought back a lot of memories, not of high school, not of anything, just when you guys took your hat off and you did this. Wonderful memories. Well, I do want to bring a thought from the book of Job and try to be a blessing if possible today. As they were here, my mind went to some of the stats. Well over 25% of young people in America are in trouble with the law. Fastest growing prison population is among young girls and women in our country. We're in a need today to see a change in a generation. And I thought of you kids today, and forgive me, I'm old enough to call you kids, okay? I thought about you, and I thought about what a great privilege you have had to be able to attend a school with an emphasis on just doing what's right. Just doing what's right by way of society, by way of your family, and by way of the Lord. And you ought to often thank Him for His goodness and the privilege you have had to have this opportunity. I'll not preach any longer than the message last, I promise. I'll try to hold to it. But as Brother Todd had asked me, would I consider coming? And I thought it was a great, great opportunity and privilege to do so. And I appreciate his friendship over the years in asking me to do so. I did for several years work with young people, and I praise the Lord for the time Judy and I had to work with them. And then for now, the past several years, I've been privileged to work with juvenile divisions, women's prisons, male prisons, military incarcerated men literally around the world. And I do thank the Lord for the privilege He has given me to serve Him. I thought in the early part of my life that being a businessman would be the choices, or they were the choices that I have made, would be the direction that God would have me. I thought maybe making money and investing in the work of God in that fashion would be His call on my life, but He saw otherwise. He called me to preach this Bible and to preach this book. I've learned over the years that the answer to everything lie within the pages of our Bible. And I hope today to give a little thought, if you'll allow me. I want you to notice they read my passage, and I'll get to that in a moment, but in the same chapter of Job, chapter 36, let me bring you up to this place real quickly. Job was a man that God said to the devil, "Hath thou considered my servant Job?" Now, oftentimes we see good people suffer. We see good people go through difficult trials. And oftentimes we'll ask ourselves, why does God allow some of those things? But I tell you today, no greater honor can it be than God Himself can entrust you to suffer for His name's sake. That even God would say to the devil, "Hath you considered my servant Job?" It was said of Job that he was a perfect man. It was said of Job that he escheweth evil. It was said of Job that there's none like him on all the earth. He was a unique man. He loved God. He worshiped God. But because of the accusing of the devil, God simply said, "Have you considered?" Job would then live a life of testing and trials and great victories and great failures at times. He would finish his life blessed of God. And we're coming now to a time where some of his friends have sat down to speak to him. Job has even confronted his friends with such things. "Are you questioning my integrity? Are you accusing me of sin in my life?" Job defended himself. He said, "I've searched my heart. I find no fault. I've asked God to show me." Job did those things. There was one of his friends that were the younger of the three. Out of respect and the culture of that day, he did not say much until this time. He began to speak in chapter 35, and he began to talk, and he said, "I know I'm the least or the youngest, but there's a spirit in me, and I want to speak." He says in verse 36, verse 1, Elihu was his name. He said, "Elihu also proceeded and said, Now suffer me a little, and I will show thee that I have yet to speak on God's behalf. I have no great wisdom to bestow. I am a man given to failures. I am a man given to shortcomings. I am a man saved by the grace of God and used by Him and directed by Him. And for Him, I give all thanks and praise. But I stand today after several years of reading and studying this Bible, and for the best I can, as Elihu said, I want to speak on the behalf of God today. Hopefully not just to our graduates, but to everyone sitting here." He says here in his passage, "I have yet to speak on God's behalf." Now watch this. He said, "I will fetch my knowledge from afar and will ascribe righteousness to my Maker." Now, in the introduction by our graduate, he said they want no shouting and no noise and no clapping when they give out diplomas. But I'm an old-fashioned preacher, so if you get beside yourself, have at it. I can only get fired one time. But I get excited a little bit when I think that Elihu said, "I know I'm young. I know I'm starting on my journey. I know I don't have the knowledge and the experience and the wisdom that maybe your parents have, maybe your teachers have. But if you'll stay with this book, you can fetch knowledge from afar. You can grab knowledge that you never realized was obtainable to the human mind. There are things here that cannot tell you, no professor can tell you. No educator can bestow upon you. Though I agree that is very, very wise to follow through. But he said, I'm going to speak. But what I'm going to tell you about, I've not learned in books. I've not learned by just practical experience. I've learned in my prayer closet by the Spirit of God, and you can fetch knowledge afar. It tells me you still have a journey to travel. You still have a lot of things to learn, as do we all. And I thought a little bit about that passage. He goes on down in verse 4 and says, "For truly my word shall not be false. He that is perfect in knowledge is with thee." My challenge would be to all, don't journey this life without Him. He has all knowledge today. And He said, "Truly my word shall not be false. And they will be perfect in knowledge, and He is with thee if you'll go with Him." And verse 11 said, "If they obey and serve Him, they shall spend their days in prosperity and their years in pleasure." Life is a journey. Life is difficult. Sitting in this congregation, no doubt in my mind, are those that have had some difficult times. There are probably some here that have come from abusive backgrounds, difficult backgrounds, poor backgrounds, all type of backgrounds. There's no doubt in my mind there are those that are sitting here, though on your face you look as if all things are fine, but down in your soul there's something missing. Down in your soul there yearns for a cry of agony, no doubt in my mind. You say, how do you know that? Because you walk in the same flesh I walk in. You live on the same planet I live in. You live with the same difficulties that every person sitting here does. And can I tell you, my Bible said, if we will obey and we will serve Him, they shall spend their days in prosperity and their years in pleasure. Now, I don't have time to define what true prosperity is. It's not what this world defines. But it says so clearly there. Then I move to my text. The Bible said, desire not the night when people are cut off in their place. Take heed, regard not iniquity, for this hast thou chosen rather than affliction. Behold, God exalteth by His power. And who teacheth like Him? I just jotted a few notes a few moments ago, and that's what I'm going to give you. I had a homiletical, exegetical, expositional, 5-hour message, but I changed my mind. And folks, you're lucky. I had no clue until today that we could eat at 5 o'clock. So, or I might have preached to 7. So, we'll get done quickly. But I jotted down a few things that were on my mind. I thought about graduation, and I just wrote down, graduation is not the conclusion of learning. It's just the beginning of a new degree of learning. It's just moving on to another level. I thought about the first time in the Bible the word teach is mentioned. A man by the name of Moses, who no doubt had a great education, for he grew up in Pharaoh's court in Egypt. There's no doubt, Brother Todd, that Moses was a man that understood law. He probably understood a little about medicine. He had military strategic training, so he probably carried all type of degrees in Egypt. He was a general and could have very well come in slated to be a Pharaoh. He was not an ignorant man. He was a very brilliant man. But God had taken him out of Egypt and put him in the backside of the desert. And there he learned that all that he had learned in this world was vanity if he didn't know about the other world. If he didn't seek knowledge from the God that created him. And the first time you see the word teach, this man of great knowledge, this man of great education, this man of great accomplishment stands before God and says, I'm not eloquent. I'm not able. I can't do this. And God told Moses, you just go, Moses. And he told him this. The first time the word teach is in the Bible, he said, I will teach your mouth. I, God, will teach your mouth. Now, I've learned something over the years, is whatever comes out of your mouth is pretty much what you are. That's pretty much, for the Bible said, out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaketh. Somebody go like this. Okay, that's good. And then we come to Job. Now you see, the ideal is this. Lord, teach me what to say. Lord, teach my mind. What's the next direction for your life? Is it what God wants you to do? Is it what He desires for you to speak? Who teacheth like Him? For I'm thankful. I believe with all my heart. I'm thankful for a mom and dad that raised me in such a fashion to get up every day realizing that I must work, that I must take care of a family, that I must be honorable to those around me. But that day I found Christ as my Savior. I thought no one exalteth like He exalteth.
And what he has taught me over the years and continues to teach me, who in the world, the Bible said, who teacheth like him? Like him. We must come to this place where the Bible said, who teacheth like him? God's exalted power. And in verse number 24 and 25 is where I want to take us today. Just a couple minutes and I'll be done. For the Bible said, who teacheth like him? We have journeyed through this stage of life, and some may choose to move on to some type of career by way of college or by way of vocation or some means of maybe apprenticeship and move on to the next level of your life. But can I tell you, if you'll keep him in your life and he'll teacheth you, he simply says in verse 11, remember that thou magnify his work, which men behold. Can I tell you today that when Adam was first created, he was not created perfect, but he was created holy. He had to be holy to walk with God. He had to have a holy presence for God to walk with him. When Adam sinned, Adam lost his holiness. He was separated from God and he could not walk with him. Ever since that day, if you read the book of Genesis, you'll find God is creating, and he's creating the heavens, and he's creating the earth, and he's calling for the trees, and he's calling for all the animals, and he's calling for the deer so we can hunt them, and he's calling all that things in. And then in Genesis chapter 2, the other day I was reading, and I saw that one verse. Time out. Hallelujah, glory to God. Excuse me, I'm back. In chapter 2 and verse 1, the Bible said, and the heavens and the earth were finished. And Brother Todd, I was reading that, and I looked at it again, and the Bible said, and the heavens and the earth were finished. And I wrote down in my Bible, but man wasn't. Man wasn't. You see, he wasn't finished with man. And can I tell you, if you draw breath today, he's not finished with you. He's still in the teaching business with you. I don't care if you're 5 years old or 85 years old. He's not finished yet. And who teacheth like him? I thought of this. He said, remember that thou magnify his work. And I thought of this today. I've been privileged to go through a lot of different colleges, and I've been privileged to with the ability to read, and I've read many, many books, and I thank the Lord for the privilege and the mind to read and learn. But I found out something as I get a little older. All of my learning and all of my study and all of my reading is only as good, Brother Howard, is what I can remember. I can remember a lot of things. I can remember when I played football and I was a defensive end, and it was my job, and I enjoyed it, to take off of that defensive end and do everything I possibly could to dead level kill that quarterback. If I could draw blood, glory to God. I mean, that was football. You say that's cruel, then don't play. They got ping pong if you can't handle it. I mean, you know. That was my job. And every now and then, I'll see a football game. And when I see the football game, I think, boy, I'd like to do that one more time. And then I stand up. And this cracks, and that snaps, and this hurts. And I remember. And sometimes life has to do that to you to get you to remember. And can I tell you, if there's one thing you journey forward, remember. Remember that the investment that's put in your life, the investment God puts in our lives, are for His work.
Ye are His workmanship, created in Christ Jesus. Your journey forward is not to improve your standard, is not to improve your living. Those things will be added to you because if you'll do what He says, He promised you a life of prosperity and pleasure. Otherwise, whatever you do for the glory of God, it'll be joyful and worth it. Whether it's to be a surgeon to help people, or whether it's to be a missionary like me and walk some foreign soil, you just remember that you're magnifying His work. Whether it's to be a mom and raise those children, whether it's to be a dad and labor in that factory, no matter what it is, if you'll just remember that thou, your work magnifieth Him. And the Bible said, which men may behold. I thought of a couple things and then I'll be done. I thought of this. To magnify means to enlarge, to make larger, to make it more vivid. And I thought of two or three things. I thought, first of all, remember that His work of salvation is magnified in our lives. My children were privileged. We homeschooled them because of our traveling. And they were privileged to graduate with a Christian education and go on to a Christian college, and they were privileged to do that. Judy and I were not. Judy and I graduated Century High School, the home of the Black Cats. They're tearing our school down now. They tore down them back steps where Judy and I used to sit and talk about the day. They tore down the monument in the front where she'd get mad at me when I didn't do right. Well, we took our senior pictures. Those things are gone. All we have is a memory. Nobody stood and told us that God had a purpose for our lives. We were not saved at that time. We did not know Christ. We were not church people. She and I journeyed with her to venture into accounting and me to venture into some kind of business, and that's what we thought we would do. And then God called us, and then we were saved, and God called me. She so quickly sacrificed all to school the children. We were not privileged, as some of you are privileged today. But we were thankful that He saved us, and that now our lives are set to remind others that His work in us is not due to our great accomplishments. His work in us is due to His wonderful work of salvation. We just want to exalt Him. We just want to lift Him up. We just want to praise Him for saving our old wretched soul. God only knows where we were journeyed to. We did not have parents to raise us in that fashion. But thank be to God, because of the work of salvation in us, I can stand today, not an ex-prisoner. I can stand today, not an ex-drug addict. I can stand today, not a drunkard today. I can stand today, a preacher of this old-fashioned Bible. And thank be to God, I can magnify the work of His salvation. And He can change your entire life today. He can do that. And our lives ought to be one that magnifies the work of His salvation. Our work ought to be one that magnifies His sanctification. As I said, Adam was not created perfect, but created holy. And He is working in and on our lives for one reason, that He might bring glory to Himself. That He might bring us and sanctify us and bring us to that place where we can have a fellowship with Him constantly and often. That is His desire. I thought thirdly, He's doing a work of sacrifice so that you and I might learn to sacrifice for Him. And the Bible said that that you and I are to present our bodies a living sacrifice, wholly acceptable unto Him. That interests me because He said this, remember that thou magnifiest His work. His work. Now the only way to magnify His work is through us. Is to show Him. You can build great buildings. Many have built great buildings. That didn't magnify Him. For who can build a building that looks like heaven? Who can build a great empire with the magnificence that one day that new Jerusalem will come down from glory and display why they walk on gold. It's a marvelous place. What they can do is magnify Him. When that old sinner gives his life to Christ, accepts Him as his Savior, it'll heal a family and magnify His work. It'll straighten out kids and magnify His work. It'll change a work environment and magnify His work. If we just remember who teacheth like Him. And then verse 25, and I'll close. And every man may see it, and man may behold it afar off. Who teacheth like Him? Or if we'll just let Him teach, then He said, I'll show you a life of joy and peace if we'll let Him teach. If we'll just remember His purpose of teaching is to draw us unto Himself and magnify His work in our lives. Just remember. And then the Bible said, every man may see it, and man may behold it afar off. One time in our English Bible is a word used. It's found in 1 Chronicles chapter 22 and verse 5. And David, because of his sin, had become a man of war. The Lord had said, now David, I'm going to establish your kingdom, but their sword will never depart from your door. And David had a desire to build a great temple, a great house for God's glory. And David, getting close to his death, realized that he could not build that house because he was a man of war, and it would take a man of peace. And he realized that, and he said, well, I can't build it, but I can provide for it. And he began to gather great cedar and things and all type of great things of great splendor from all over the world so that he'd be prepared to build the temple for God. And then David uses a word found only the one time in our Bible. He uses the word when he says, I can't build it, but my son Solomon can. And he gives exhortation to those about him. He said, please understand, this building must be exceeding magnifical. It's the only time in our English Bible the word magnifical is used. And I just began to read on it a little and study it a little and try to put it in Century Florida country boy thoughts. And it came across this way. David said, it can't be any building. It can't be any work. It can't be any investment. But what it's got to be is magnificent. And kids, if I could encourage you today, if you'll remember, nobody teaches like He teaches. If you'll remember, He's doing a work in you. If you'll remember, your lives should be, and folks today, your lives should be exceeding magnificent. And so I began to study the old English word, magnificent. And when I seen it, I said, well, hallelujah then. Y'all can nod now. That time you could do this. Okay. And it meant this. Aren't these beautiful young people? Well, almost. Give it five, man. You could. All right. Aren't they beautiful kids? Healthy kids? You know what's going to happen one day? You're going to look like me. Trust me, it ain't getting better. But wait a minute. That word magnificent, it means as you get afar off, and the further away they get, you'll journey into life. But it means one day you might have a family of your own, and there's going to be a little one looking up at you. And the closer they get, it meant for something to be, to look so magnificent and so beautiful from a distance. But the closer you get to it, the more magnificent it becomes. As you journey along, the more beautiful
it becomes. As you get closer, the more marvelous it becomes. It tells me this in the Bible. There sits a throne up in heaven. There sits a place. Your journey is just beginning. If you're a Christian today, you're on a journey to that marvelous place. And can I tell you, if you'll stay in that book, can I tell you, if you'll remember His statutes, the closer you get, the more you get my age and Moses' age, Brother Howard back there, Moses' age, the more you get there, all the more magnificent it becomes because you've been faithful. And you stayed with it. And through life's struggles and journeys, it's been worth it all. Remember, you magnify His work, which men behold. So often, being a prison preacher like I am, I'm not as sweet to the prisoners as I am you. I get down where they live, and I warn them about the judgment seat of Christ. I warn them about the great white throne of judgment, when we'll stand before Him and either be eternally with Him, and those at the great white throne will be cast, the Bible says, into an eternal lake of fire. And I begin to think how often we yearn and beg and plead with such boldness over that event that will transpire one day. But I wonder about God today, for I don't think He looks forward to that day. I don't think He's looking forward to the day of the judgment seat of Christ for those that are saved. Brother Todd, that He knows He must hold us accountable, and we as His children, and guess what? Not all your children sometimes make you happy. I don't think He longs for that day. I don't think He longs for that day that He'll have to say, "Depart from me, ye workers of iniquity, for I never knew you." I don't think God longs for that day. I think that's why He tarries so long. That He would that none would perish, that all would come to repentance. And one day we'll all stand before Him, and in that day we can approach it in a magnificent way if we'll remember who teacheth like Him. Would you bow your heads and let me pray today? Please, with your heads bowed, I'd ask you, while your heads are bowed, to search your hearts. If you're that person today, you do not know Christ as your Savior, you can. For my Bible said that whosoever shall call upon Him shall be saved. Can I tell you today, the Bible says neither is there salvation in any other. There's none other name under heaven given amongst men whereby you must be saved. And today, if you don't know Christ as your Savior, you can ask Him. And at the close of these ceremonies today, you can seek out some man or lady in this church, and they can help you if you're of that need. I pray for you today and families that are here, and ask God to put His hand on you. Our Father, I thank You again for the great privilege today to stand and speak. My heart goes out to these young people who just begin one of the greatest journeys of life. They'll not long from now, a year, maybe 5 years, they'll journey off on their own by way of career, by way of marriage, by way of surrender, whatever it might be. And Lord, they'll begin to learn things that only You can teach, things that life will show them that books will not. So Lord, I pray, God, that they use wisdom in their future, wisdom when it comes to who may be their spouse for life and what their career may be. Will it give glory to You? And Lord, will they make up their mind that the church will be a vital and most important part of their lives? Lord, I pray today for those sitting in the pews. Again, I ask You, Lord, if there's one here that has not met You
If I could take them back to that day I met you, I believe I could pour out some of the sweetest things that they could not refuse. And then, Lord, for those that are here today that maybe just forgot how wonderful you are, let it be drawn back to our memories. We might praise you today for your goodness. Please bless the remainder of this time. We'll thank you in Jesus' name. Amen.